Blog Talk Radio.
Every day a star is born.
You better believe it.
Blog
Talk Radio.
B-O-G-M. Hey.
I watched Carla start it, seen Ronnie do it. Sweet T and Say Too, they came through, taking their debut. In the recession, showing us how to make do. In the middle was heavy, but light on the edge. With Chauncey Gibson, the righteous get fed. Trey Love crying from his heart to the core. On the move with the mind of an entrepreneur. A better tomorrow, we play for fight. Maximize potential, reshape your life. Time ain't never wasted. They got blogs with guided meditation. Rise above it all, at least. Navigating through this Middle East. It's like trying to rollerblade up a hill of grease. The radio media is a maverick tutor. With Grandma dripping Don Adams Jr. Y'all know what it is, man.
E-O.
In the building.
Hey, family, what's going on? Welcome to another edition, That's right. Guess what? I'm back. They didn't get rid of me yet. Welcome to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. And you know what, family? I am not going to disappoint you. We are going to finish up on this Jesse Jackson crap today. That's right, the Jesse Jackson crap today. Got some hot topics lined up for you. We're going to talk about those twins down in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, that had something to do with, allegedly had something to do with murdering their mother. Family, got a hot show lined up for you. So stay tuned, stay with us, and we'll be right back. You know how we do.
Remember the time you used to.
BlackMoneyMatters.com.
You know, when two people decide to get married, it's a pretty exciting time, but it also brings up a lot of hard questions. One of these questions is, how exactly are you and your spouse-to-be going to merge your money? The first step in doing this is to start discussing your financial goals. A good exercise to get this going is for each partner to make a list of his or her short-term goals, like paying off a credit card, getting a new car, or even going on a vacation. Then begin to list your long-term goals, like retirement or having a baby. From there, you should be able to determine which of these goals are a priority to both of you. Then, once you've identified these goals, you can focus your energy on achieving them. This is Gil Michelle.
That was your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com. To get more information and receive our free newsletter, visit BlackMoneyMatters.com.
Hey, family, welcome back to another edition, Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Like I said earlier in the top of the show, family, we have an exciting show lined up for you, as always. But you know what? Before we get started, I like to do my favorite thing, and that's what? Thank you all for your time, especially on a Friday. You know, I know that time is the most valuable asset that we all have, and when you agreed or decided that you wanted to spend your time listening to me on my show, you know what? I appreciate it, and I want to always personally send a thanks out to each and every one of you, and I mean that sincerely. I know you don't think I know you like that, but trust me, I appreciate you like that. With that being said, let me just get right with it. I want to give out my normal acknowledgments to the EOTM family, especially on the West Coast, with Jimmy EOTM Baker, that brother's on fire. I had to put that shout out there. Also, Carla B., our fearless leader, the fearless leader of EOTM, and her sidekick, Ronnie, the first lady of GPT. We can't forget about Queen G., or Sweet Tea, also part of the West Coast Family Connection of EOTM. And last but not least, I am not going to forget about our newest addition to the family, Ron, and his sidekick, Mother Jenkins. You can catch them on Sundays, family. That's a real treat, real treat. Show information, www.eotmradio.com, or you can go to www.queensofinternetradio.com. And for those of you who are bold enough to call in tonight and chop it up with Don Adams on the hot topics that we're going to have in here, the number to call in on is 718-664-6543. Let me say that again, 718-664-6543. Looking forward to hearing from you. You know what, family, I'm going to do something that I always do as well. I want to send our shouts out to our family in the country of New Zealand and also the UK. That's right. This show is international, and we do have family in the UK and in the New Zealand area that tune in on a regular basis. Wonderful, wonderful comments from that side of the house. With that being said, family, Let me just give you all a brief rundown of what the show topics are going to be about today, because I'm trying to, you know what, I'm not even going to hold back on it. I'm just going to put it out there the way it is. First of all, this is a mature rated show. If you are offended by what I will say, turn your damn stereo or your computer off, because the thoughts and opinions of this host do not necessarily reflect all of those from those people or folks that are attached to EOTM Radio. Okay, so I said that correctly. I had to do that right, like that family, because my boss is usually in my butt to do it correctly. The least I can do is say that their thoughts and opinions are not tied into me. So with that being said, you know, last week or so, we started talking about MLK, Martin Luther King Jr., and we put out some startling information about this man. And a lot of folks have challenged me on that, undercover, of course. But I want to say this to those folks out there that have challenged me on that. A good friend of his name is Mr. Abernathy, Dr. Abernathy, put out a book. It's called When the Walls Came Tumbling Down. Look it up. I challenge you to find that information, read it, review it, eat it, whatever you want to do with it. It's fine with me. Just look it up. Don't take my word for it. That's the beauty of it. With that being said, family, we ended on the other half of the topic, which was the Jesse Jackson issues. You know, I call him the dub name Jesse Clown Jackson because, in my opinion, as I said before, he is a clown. He is a man who has put himself in a position, you know, and so to speak, the walls are starting to come crumbling down about him. You know, so one thing about it, family, is this. Whatever is done in the darkness almost always comes to the light. So we're not going to take up too much time with that. We're going to get on Mr. Jackson in a minute. But you know what? I want to move on to some other hot topics. Recently in Georgia, two twin girls have been and are standing accused of murdering their mother, their birth mother. And also, family, for those of you who out there who like to come into the blog room is open. The blog room is open. So for you friendly chatters that like to come in and chat with the blog room, please feel free to do so. I see you all are blowing up my instant messages already. Thank you, little lady, for your comments. Come into the blog room, family, so that we can, you know, keep it moving, because I'm handling the boards by myself tonight. All right, here we go. In Georgia, in recent news, two twin girls have been accused of murdering their birth mother. Now, you know, I was very fortunate to catch the story in its entirety. Frank Ski and Wanda, who are two great hosts on the show, on V103's morning show, had the very dubious task of interviewing the girl's mother, the mother of the lady that was killed by the. Allegedly murdered by the two twin girls. And this story comes out of Conyers, Georgia. Now, keep in mind, family, that these young ladies are 16 years of age, and they have been charged with the murder of their mother. According to one neighbor, the girl's mother feared the twins. Now, the girl's mother, prior to being murdered or allegedly being murdered by the girls, has sought help with the juvenile system. And, you know, it's ironic because, you know, one of the things we talk about on this show is how inundated we are as a community with our families so intertwined with the justice system. Let me tell you something, family. This case is a perfect example, in my opinion, of how a judge showed his ass and decided that he was not going to listen to the participants and just basically just, I don't know, I mean, just ruled, I don't know what this guy was doing. According to the mother, the grandmother of the daughters, they were in court when a threat was issued directly after the judge had already said that he was going to send them back home against their will to their mother. Now, here's the irony of it, family. You know, sometimes we do shows on haters. Haters. One of the things I always tell you about family is that haters are not strangers. Haters are those people that come from within your midst. They are your family members. They are your friends. They are your coworkers. They are your neighbors. And sometimes, yes, they are your lovers. That's right, your lovers. Haters are people that know you. In this particular instance, where I'm going with that is that the grandmother, the great-grandmother of these children, was, from what I understand and from what I got out of the story, was the spark that ignited or that sort of kept this flame going between the mothers and the daughters. Ridiculous at best. But to no avail, here it is, family. We have a tragedy, and what it looks like is that it's a generational tragedy, meaning children have taken matters into their own hands and decided to end the life of their mother, which in turn has affected and will continue to affect the grandmother, and guess who's left standing to deal with it on some social level? The great-grandmother. So guess what, family? For those of you who want to catch that special that came on last night, the Frank Ski and Wanda special about the twin girls that murdered their mother, go online and look up the Frank Ski and Wanda show. And this aired last night. Is that correct? Is that last night? This was last night when this show aired. And it's a true travesty, family. It's a true travesty. And I think that the moral of the story is that we should learn how not to inundate ourselves with the court systems and believe that, you know, just because these people are judges, lawyers, or whatever they consider themselves to be, that they know exactly what's going on in your household. This woman cried out for help. And in my opinion, she was denied. She was denied. She was turned away. And at some points in her story, she was even made out to be the bad guy, you know, in the eyes of the law and in the eyes of her twin daughters. And from what I understand as well, the great-grandmother also was responsible for getting defects involved in this case, which did not help her initially, but eventually ended up costing her her life. The two were charged as adults with the murder of Jamaica Whitehead, who was found stabbed to death in her home on January 13th. Before she died, Jamaica was known as Nikki. She confided in a neighbor. The mother was kind of afraid that something like this might happen to her. That neighbor's name is Angela Avery. She told CBS, a CBS affiliate, and I quote, "I can't explain why, because the mother didn't do a lot of talking, but she did have the particular fear. Yes, she did." Police arrested one of the girls at Tucker High School east of Atlanta, and the other one was at a relative's house. They did not appear to be surprised, and they did not offer any apologies, Conyers Police Chief Gene Wilson told the CBS station. The police said conflicting statements and evidence pointed to the sisters. Avery said the girls had recently moved back with their mother and her boyfriend. 4 days after they moved in, their mother was found dead. Several neighbors told WGCL that the family was known to have issues. No one could elaborate beyond saying that the family was troubled. Now, family, I'm not going to review or give you the whole entire story, but what I will do is urge you all who are within a sound of my voice to look up the story. And what I did was I put in my blogger, did twin girls kill mother in the state of Georgia? Look it up, family. It's a tragic story, and I think that we can all learn a lot from that. Most importantly, let's try to keep our families out of the damn social system, because you know what? These people that we depend on to make all these rulings really and truly don't give a damn about us. I care more about you than they do. Trust me when I say that, because I am one of you. The other half of the other topics that we're going to move on to, convicted felons. You know, we talked last week about convicted felons not being able to go to school and not being able to vote. You know, family, I was so outraged because, you know, in the state of Georgia, there is a, and for the purposes of this show, when I identify with someone as a Mexican, they are Mexican nationals. Family in the blog room, I'm in the blog room as well. Please feel free to send me your comments, and guess what? I'll be glad to post them online. So please feel free to comment. So as I was saying, family, here in Georgia recently, I'm sorry. Oh, by the way, did I tell the family where I'm broadcasting from? I'm broadcasting live from the D.C. area, somewhere in Upper Marlboro, and y'all trying to find me out here, guess what? I have protection, because I know I have some haters out there. I have protection. I'm going to say it again, I have protection. I'm going to say some ugly stuff, I have protection. But anyway, broadcasting live from the D.C. area, and I'm very proud to say that. With that being said, family, convicted felons, why is it that someone who is a Mexican national, who is in this country illegally, can find the funds, the time, and the opportunity to go to school at the expense of the taxpayers? You know what? This young lady decided that she wanted to make herself a spokeswoman for, or at least to speak out against the law that was recently passed within the state of Arizona that gives police the authority and the power to question anyone that they, in their opinion, believe may be here in this country illegally. Initially, family, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I felt like, you know what, that was far-reaching and that was kind of ignorant on the part of Arizona. But after listening to and seeing some of the things that have been going on, I'm going to retract my statement. And you know what, family, I'm not afraid to say I may have been wrong. Because at the end of the day, you know what, it's a damn shame when you can look up and people that have been convicted of a felony have paid their debt to society and can no longer go to school because of the fact that they have been identified as a felon. I think that is a crying shame. But what's even worse, family, is the fact that someone who's in this country illegally can go to school at your expense. That's right. I'm talking to you people out there who are working every day, paying your taxes to your city, state, government, the whole nine, supporting the schools and the colleges in your respective community, and someone can come in here who doesn't even belong in this country and go to school for free at your expense. What do you think is going to happen when they finish? They're going to leave and go on about their business, and guess what? All those promissory notes that we signed to get into school, that shit's not going to mean a word. Trust me, family, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And so we attacked that. And that brought us to this point, convicted felons. Why is it that they are not allowing convicted felons who have paid their debts to society to reiterate themselves and to go back to college and to start over and to get a fresh start for all intents and purposes? Why is that, family? I need for someone to call in and give me some insight on that, because I'm going to take the gloves off on this particular issue, and guess what? We're going to chop it up. We're going to talk about it. We're going to let it be known. We're going to go with this. You follow what I'm saying, family? We're going to run with this thing, okay? And at the end of the day, where are we going with this thing, family? Why is it that someone who has paid their debt to society can no longer go to school, or for that matter, can't go to school and receive a proper education, when someone who's here illegally can come in and say, okay, you know what, this is what I want to do, X, Y, and Z, and go from there? That's an interesting question. You know, and I beg to differ with the answer, because I'm going to say this to you, family, in all respect to those that are out there, our so-called fearless congressional leaders, at the end of the day, those are the same people who have become so outraged about this that they decided to look into it. But I think it's after the fact. Ms. Barnes, you want to respond? Okay. Give me a second, because you know what? I've got to pull the boards back up, Ms. Barnes. I see you on there. Absolutely. But it's ridiculous, family, in this day and time. And I know that this is a hot topic that certainly affects, on some levels, most, if not all of us, especially within the black community. You know, those people out there who have children or persons. And I'll tell you something else, family. One of the things that we brought out on last week's show, too, was that there was a veteran that called in, a veteran who has served in our wars, who has taken her time, and I'm sure she's out there listening, took her time to apply for what's called the GI Bill, okay? Now, she's obtained most of the education that she wants to obtain in her lifetime, but what has happened is she has decided in her infinite wisdom that she wanted to pass on her GI Bill to her child and her educational benefits. But guess what? Her child made some bad choices and was not able to do so. We have a caller on the line, and I'm going to bring the caller on. 909-527. I think I know who you are, and I welcome you to the show. How are you today, lovely one?
Hey, I'm good. Great show topic this evening, Don. Thanks for having me aboard. Just wanted to touch really quickly on what you were talking about as far as the felons and how, I guess, you feel, as well as other people feel, that it's unfair as far as how, you know, they feel like they've paid their debt to society, and then, of course, all this stuff is still lingering over their head. You were talking about that, correct?
Yes, that's absolutely correct, that someone has gone to prison, has paid their debt to society, and society says, you know what, we don't give a damn, we're not going to let you go to school. But on the same foot, when you mentioned that, I'm talking about the illegals that come here, and I say illegals respectively, not as an insult to you all, that come into our country and they go to school at the expense of the taxpayers. I'm trying to figure out where is the detriment. Go ahead.
Well, the thing
but
is,
you have that.
In my opinion, those are two separate things, so you can't even really tie those things in together. We're talking about one group of people that have made choices to commit some kind of crime. They made their choice to do that. So you can't really compare them with individuals that are coming, trying to come into, well, individuals that come into the United States illegally, because they're that's not, I mean, I guess it's a crime, but it's not that kind of crime. They're trying to come into here maybe to make a better life for their families and their, you know, themselves and their families. So I don't even think we should even put them in the same bracket. My comment this evening is more so towards the, you know, the convicted felons who are going to cry this woe is me thing after the fact. Everybody have the choice to, you know, either do right or do wrong. So, I mean, people who commit crimes, they know what the consequences are, and they still choose to do that. So, to me, you know what I'm saying, this is their bed, and they have to lie in a point-blank period. They can't blame that on anybody else. They made a choice to commit a crime. So, guess what? Now you're not going to school, and the government is not going to pay for it. You go to school if you want to. You pay for it on your own dime, and I think that's a great law. So you know, I'm for it.
Well, let me say this to you. All right, let's back up a little bit because you made some very interesting points, and on this show we always respect everybody's opinion. Let me ask you this: if a man or a woman makes a mistake in life, breaks the law. What is the truth in the phrase that says your debt to society is paid?
Your debt to society is paid when you're off parole. You know, kind of, sort of. But we know that's not necessarily.
Those are two separate issues. Because see, here's where we're going with that. I'm not talking about those people who are currently serving on parole or probation. Hell no, you don't deserve to go to school while you're finishing your sentence because parole and probation basically means that you're serving your sentence on the streets. I'm talking about those people who have served their time, whether it's on probation or whether it's on parole, who have done what the courts have asked them to do in response or in reply or in reprimand to the acts that they have committed, and then in turn are trying to move forward and get their lives together. Here's the irony. I'm not saying that because we all have made mistakes. I don't care who we are. We've made mistakes. We've done some wrong. We've done some bad. That's point taken, period. I don't care who you are. Nobody's perfect. But at the end of the day, if you make a mistake, is it right to hold you accountable for the rest of your life when you are trying to move forward and do better?
But the thing is like I said in the beginning, you know, we have a choice on making making the things that we do, we have a choice. So if you already, I could see if those people didn't know that that was going to be the repercussions. You didn't know that you wasn't going to be able to.
Well, wait a minute. Most people that commit felons don't realize that they're going to lose their rights. Most people, as a matter of fact, and statistics have shown, most people that commit felonies can't even read and write, let alone know what rights they have, let alone know what they're going to lose.
That, though?
Well, you know what? That's a whole other can of worms because when you say whose fault it is, I would say that it's the school system. I would say it's the parents.
No, you got to blame it on the parents.
I absolutely would say the parents, the school system. I would say on some part the individual is not taking the initiative. But at the end of the day, guess what? Here's the thing. If you make a mistake, where is the standard that said, hey, we cannot forgive you? Because if you know what? If I'm going to go out and rob banks, guess what? Give me my money and let me go on my way. What's the point in putting me in jail for my crime if you're going to hold me accountable for the rest of my life?
Okay. And the great thing about your shows is that you do, you know, try to put out a lot of good information. So what I would say to your listeners is that the ones that maybe are thinking about doing a crime, don't, because we know what the repercussions are. For those that have committed crimes and they see themselves in a situation where they can't get a really good job, they can't go to school, what I would say to that is, you know, write your legislator. I would say, try to save up some money and get an attorney to try to get some things taken off your record. You know, there are different ways out there, but the thing is this, we got to get these people to understand that if they want to see some kind of change, they have to make some kind of effort to help that change come. So what I would say is definitely number.
And I agree with you, but here's the thing: you know what? You just said the key word: make some effort, make an attempt to make some change. Right? Guess what? If I go to jail for committing a crime, and then I decide that I want to turn my life around, and guess what? At the end of the day, I want to go to school because I'm smart enough to be a rocket scientist and reprieve myself from the things that I've done. What's the problem? Why can't I go to school? Here's the question: why is it okay for someone who's in this country illegally to go to school when I, as a convicted felon, I get up, I get a job, I pay my taxes, but I can't go to school?
Yeah,
now we're talking about taxpaying citizens now. Because if you get a job, you're gonna pay some taxes.
Yeah, but like I said,
why can't Oh, go ahead.
Great
I'm sorry.
Topic. No, only thing I got to say is great topic, but in my opinion, I don't think you could put those, you know, side by side as far as
well,
that. You have a valid reason. You have a valid point. Mm-hmm. You do, but I, in my opinion, I just don't think it's fair. I don't think it should be in the same kind of category.
Hold on a second. We have another caller on the line that wants to speak to you. Hold on a second. 301-301-351, you're on the air. Don Adams, Jr. Talk Show. Go ahead.
This Officer A, man. Good show tonight. Yeah, I want to chime in on this subject with the convicted felons being allowed to join society again. And I have to agree with you on what you're saying. I mean, it comes a time when we have to decide how many times we have penalized and punished people. I mean, how many times you spank your kid for the same fraction that they did 2 days ago? Now, if we want these people to get back into society, want them to have jobs, if you want them to live lives as regular human beings, pay taxes, you're absolutely correct, pay the taxes, get a driver's license, do everything, get insurance, and all those good things. I mean, when do we say that they have paid their debt to society? I mean, when do we say enough is enough? You have done everything that the court has asked you to do, and now
we... Officer A, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm getting people saying that they can't hear you. Can you speak up just a little bit? Because there are some folks that are listening. They're instant messaging me, and they're saying that they can hardly hear you. Can you speak up a little bit for me, please?
I apologize, Don. How's my reception now?
All right, let me ask the family. Family, can you hear him now? Those that can hear him clear, can you instant message me and let me know?
How about now?
I think that might be better. But go ahead with your comments, because this family, okay, they're hearing you now.
I apologize, Don. I was just saying, I want to know when is enough enough. I mean, when does society say this guy or girl has paid their debt to society? When have they been mm-hmm. punished enough? A guy goes to jail for whatever the crime is and does 25, 30 years of hard labor. We turn them back loose in society. They're already 25, 30 years behind the eight ball, right? They're 25, 30 years behind. And now we're still saying that they should not be allowed to vote. They shouldn't be allowed to get education. We don't want them to get jobs. We don't want them doing this. We want them doing that. I mean, if we're going to take that hard line about people who have served the time that a court of law has said, this is what you have to do for the crime that you have committed, and we still don't want them to come out and be regular people, I mean, what are they supposed to do besides become mm-hmm. repeat offenders? I mean, that's how you get repeat offenders. People who can't do or don't know what to do, anything else what they like, but what got them in trouble in the first place. And I agree with
you. Well, hold on. I know you're making some valid points, but see, for some of the family that's out there, we have to take it point by point sometimes, and tonight we're going to take it point by point. I want to stop you right there briefly, because you made a very valid point, the rate of recidivism. For those of you who listen to my shows, you should know by now that I am a former probation officer. I've handled caseloads anywhere from high max to sex offenders to what you may consider murderers that have been let back out on the street and try to get themselves reformed. And what this man is talking about is the rate of recidivism. And when you take away someone's ability, someone's avenue, if you will, to a successful recovery from where they were when they committed this crime that they've been convicted of, what are you asking them to do when you say, hey, guess what? I'm going to keep my foot on your damn neck, and I don't want you looking up for air at all. Guess what? I don't care what you do. What are you asking for? You're asking for that same guy to come back and break into your house, steal your car, go take it to the chop shop. You're asking for him to sell drugs to your children, because guess what? You have given him no other recourse. That is what he's talking about, family. He's talking about recourse. He's talking about the ability to survive. That is why it is important to say, hey, you know what? We have educational programs in place in this country. Why shouldn't felons be allowed to go to school once they've paid their debt? Not if they're still on probation and not if they're still on parole, but once they've completely fulfilled their commitment to the courts, they should be allowed to go back to school. That's what he's talking about, family. Go ahead. I just wanted to make sure your point was driven clear.
Thank you. Thank you, Don. I mean, if they don't have anything set up in place. I mean, just we could equate this to a kid that goes to a school that's not adequate. When that kid graduates from high school and he's not ready for the world, now what do we say? What are we gonna do? What do you say about that kid? You know, and it's the same thing with these felons when they come out. If you cut everything away from them and you just bottleneck them to be able to do one thing and one thing only, and that's commit the crimes that you're used to committing, then guess what they're going to do? They're going to commit the crimes that they're used to committing. I mean,
I'm going to agree with you. We cannot. And what point by point, like we said, Officer A, let me say this, family. What he's saying in layman's terms is this. We cannot take our felons and simply flush them down the commode and think that it's going to stay down. You ever heard of the turd that wouldn't go down? Guess what? These people are real, and they are not going to be flushed. We have to find a way to deal with them, family. That is what he's saying in my version. Go ahead, Officer.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I wanted to get out, Don. I mean, I just wanted to chime in on that a little bit and get my point in. And I'm gonna sign off, but I'm gonna keep listening to the show. But I just wanted—I just had to get a piece of that a little bit. Your first caller, she takes a real hard line. I don't know why, but she takes a very hard line with these convicted felons. And yeah, she's right to a certain degree. People have choices; they make choices. There's nobody walking the face of the earth that has not made a bad decision, a bad choice. It's just the guys who were behind bars—they got caught. Okay, let's keep it real. They got caught. They're paying the price. But, I mean, to sit there and say that when a judge has hit the guy over the head with whatever he wanted to hit him over the head with, and the guy or girl has gone through everything that they're supposed to, and now they're back on the streets, that they should be allowed to do what the next man is doing, I don't think that's fair at all, because all that's going to do is bottleneck that guy or girl to do what they know what to do, what got them in trouble in the first place, and they'll be right back in the system. That's all I want to say.
But you know what, before you go, I want to make this quick point. That's why at the top of the show, we talked about a woman who was allegedly murdered by her twin daughters in Georgia. You know something, family? She went to the court system. And you know what that proved? The judge didn't know shit. The judge was not a social worker. He was a law enforcer, or he was a creator of whatever the hell he's got going on as far as laws and so forth and so on. But he was not socially based. That's why he made some irrational decisions. You know what, family? What he's saying is this. Bottom line, once these people have fulfilled their commitments to the courts and the judge says it's okay for us to do this, this, and that, who's to say that they're right and that their word is the final decision, the final happening, or the final what it should be? Bottom line, family, we have to take charge of our own actions, our lives, and you know what? We also have to take care of our felons. We have to take care of our felons, family. That's a part of it. We have to take care of our felons. I appreciate you calling in, Officer A, and sharing your comments with us. As always, you're always welcome to do so. With that being said, family, if I ruled the world, guess what? It wouldn't be a choice to be made. Stick with us, family. We'll be right back with the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. And don't forget, we're going to be talking about Jesse Clown Ass Adams.
Without cops harassing, imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue behind the waters, no welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters. Days are shorter, nights are colder. Feeling like life is over. These snakes strike like a cobra. The world's hot, my son got knocked. Evidently, it's elementary. They want us all gone eventually. Trooping out of state for a place. Knowledge, if coke was cooked without the garbage, we'd all have the top dollars. Imagine everybody flashing, fashion, designer clothes. Lacing your click up with diamond rolls. Your people rolling dough, no parole, no rubbers. Going raw, imagine law with no undercovers. Just some thoughts for the mind. I take a glimpse into time. Watch the blimp read, the world is mine.
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
I free all my sons. I love them, baby. Black diamonds and pearls.
Could it be if you could be mine, we both shine.
If I rule the world,
still living these last days until where to be. Paradise life relaxing. Black, Latino, and Anglo-Saxon. I'm on the exchange, the range, cast. Lost tribes are bad, free at last. Brand new whips to crash, then we laugh in the illa path. The villa houses for the crew, how we do? Trees for breakfast, dime sexes have been stretches. So many years of depression make me vision the better living, type of place to raise kids in. Open the eyes to the lies, history's so foul, but I'm as wise as the old owl. Plus the gold child, seeing things like I was controlling, click rolling, tricking six digits on kicks and still holding. Trips to Paris, I civilize every savage. Give me one shot, I turn trite life to lavish. Political prisoners set free, stress free. No work release, purple and threes and jet skis. Feel the wind breeze in West Indies. I lick Coretta Scott King, mayor of the cities, and reverse things to Willie's. It sound foul, but every girl I meet will go downtown. I'd open every cell in Attica, send them to Africa. Imagine that. Making moves in Atlanta, back and forth scrambler. Cause you can have all the chips, be poor or rich, still nobody want a nigga have a shit. If I rule the world and everything in it, sky's the limit. I push the 245 infinite. It wouldn't be no such thing as jealousies or be felony. Strictly living longevity to the destiny I thought I'd never see, but reality struck. Better find out before your time's out. What the fuck?
If I rule the world,
imagine that.
Y'all, it's here. It's finally here. The buzz is here. What is the buzz?
ELTM Buzzwire magazine at eltmbuzzwire.com is a monthly magazine on the web.
Continuing with ELTM's mission to encourage, empower, and enlighten, Buzzwire magazine at eltmbuzzwire.com will help bring entrepreneurs together, and connecting minds will increase networks to increase net worth.
Read ELTM Buzzwire magazine each month at eltmbuzzwire.com and stay enlightened and empowered.
Welcome back, family, to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Wow, we set up a firestorm in this camp. We're talking about felons not being able to get the right to go to school when we have illegals or people here in the country illegally who are being allowed to go to school. We have some interesting comments by some interesting callers. Someone in the California area called in and said that she agreed with the fact that felons should not be allowed to go to school. She thinks that, hey, you should be held accountable. Possibly for the rest of your life, who knows? We've had Officer A, our good friend, in the Maryland area, which, by the way, family, I am broadcasting live from the D.C. area tonight. Not in Atlanta, family, broadcasting in the D.C. area tonight. Officer A called in, made an interesting comment about what are they supposed to do? What are you supposed to do once you've paid your debt to society and you've moved on and you've said, hey, I'm sorry, I've done what I was supposed to do and I've made a reprimand for my actions. What are you supposed to do when we don't give them an opportunity to make amends? Interesting. We have another call on the line, 770-367. You're on the line with the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Go with your comments.
Yes, good evening, Don. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm calling from the Atlanta area. I prefer not to use my name. But did want to...
Are we playing Secret Squirrel again here tonight? Are we playing... You know what? This is not Secret Squirrel. Make up a name so we can address you.
Miss ATL.
I'll be damned. Okay, Miss ATL. Let's run with it.
Okay. Just wanted to make a... wanted to weigh in on the discussions from the two previous callers that you had this evening. First of all, the first young lady made some very strong comments, which, of course, you know, everyone is entitled to their opinions and their, and you know, their feelings. But one of the things I wanted to piggyback on, one of the things she said that she felt that felons and immigrants should not be categorized in the same category, but I tend to disagree, and my reasoning behind that is, first of all, when the illegal immigrants cross over into our country, they're committing a crime at that very point, and they know they're committing a crime. Therefore, their crime is no different and no better than the crimes that felons or any other criminals have committed. So my point is, why should our felons continue to have to pay the price when they've served their time, they paid their debt to society, they want a better life, just like she implied that the
Wait. Before you go on, I like to make a point by point. Now, let me see if I'm getting this correctly. In your opinion, and no crime is greater than another crime. If you're committing a crime, you're still a criminal. Is that what you're saying?
A crime is a crime. It's
a
just
crime
maybe
is crime.
Weighed heavily.
Now,
it
now,
may be weighed
now.
Heavily. You know, it
well,
may be
well, Wait. Let me go ahead. I'm with you on this. Now, for all you Bible toters out there, I like to pick on the Bible toters. All you folks that read scripture by scripture as the show goes on, I'm talking to you. The good book also tells you this, that no sin is greater than another but one, and that is to be belligerent reject the Holy Spirit. That is the greatest and most unforgivable sin that's out there. So I put that out there to say this. I think she's absolutely correct. I don't think that in the eyes of man's law, if you commit a rape, it's still a crime. I don't think committing rape, in my opinion, is worse than breaking into the country, depending on what your reasons are. Now, some of you are saying, well, how can I compare the two? Well, rape is a crime of violence. We all know that. But some people come into this country to commit violent acts, such as blow us up and so forth and so on. So we don't know who's here legally or who's not here, or we don't know who's here for those intentions or those purposes. So it's my opinion that when you cross the border illegally to come into this country, until we declare what's your opinion or until we have declared what your actual intentions are, you're no better than the rapist, the bomber, or whoever else is out there, because we don't know what you're going to do. And that's why I make that connection, family. She's absolutely right. In my opinion, that crime is no worse or greater than the other. And before I turn it back over to the caller, we have an interesting comment in my messenger. This is from Lil Lady. She says that my reception is not good since my neighborhood got whatever upstairs. Thank God I'm moving away from her mean Shirley ass. I wanted to touch base on the immigration glitch that our country is experiencing, especially here in a raggedy, racist, double-standard Georgia, which is where I believe she lives, where that young lady attends school at Kennesaw State University. However, my little ones are active and crying and laughing together, and she would not want to hear the audience to hear what she has to say at this time. I put your comments out there to say this to you, little lady. Call in anyway and tell the little ones to be quiet. Call in. We'd love to hear from you. I can tell that you're very articulate, okay? Go ahead on, caller.
Yes, and one of my final comments that I wanted to make as well, as we've said numerous times during this discussion this week regarding felons, as far as when they pay their debts to society, they should be able to be entitled to return to school. And as we all know, if we know anything about mastermind criminals and all, we have some of the most brilliant and intelligent people that are behind bars, that has committed crimes but have turned their life around, but who are now in our society making major impacts. And I think when we are limiting or not allowing them to go to their full potential of being successful, then we as a society are contributing to, as the second caller said, we're putting them right back in the same tight wall or predicament and returning back, because the only thing they can do is to commit the same crime in order to survive, because we're limiting them and not allowing them to go to their full potential. And if anybody has not ever had the opportunity to read this book, I highly recommend to read a book called Makes Me Want to Holler by Nathan McCall, who served his time for committing his crime, but now is a well-known author as well as a well-known professor, if I'm not mistaken, at Georgia State in Atlanta, Georgia. But I say that to say, had he not been persistent and continued to fight the system, he would not be able to contribute as much as he has since paying his debt to society and now giving back to community, which now he is very successful in what he does.
Are you saying that some of our brightest minds are locked up in prison?
Or has served their time and now back out in society.
Here's the question. Are you saying that some of our brightest minds are those of the criminals?
Correct.
So with that being said, let me just say this to you. You're absolutely 100% right. Most of you already know that I am pursuing an education in the field of psychology, and she is correct. Because you know what? People that are criminals are those that think outside of the box. Unfortunately, they think on the left side of the fence rather than the right. And she is 100% correct. Those are the brightest minds, or some of the brightest minds that are out there. Very smart people. They just decide to use it to try to figure out how to do some bad shit that they handle that is doing. You follow what I'm saying? So she's absolutely correct, family. And I'm sorry for interrupting you again, but I absolutely wanted to make sure that your point was driven home, that you are correct. Please go on.
That was basically one of my final points. Just one other comment, and then I'm through.
Well, you know what, Miss ATL, you have a lot of points. For someone who wanted to call into my show, I'm going to put you on blast to not even give me the courtesy of knowing who you are. I'm going to put you on blast, Ms. ATL, while we're giving you all the privileges and responsibilities of a full-fledged member for calling into the Don Adams Senior Talk Show and not telling us who the hell you are. But we'll chop that up at another time. I'm sure we will, because I'm sure you're going to be a regular caller. Go ahead, Ms. ATL.
Yes, and my final thought, the first caller as well had made a point as far as where I perceived it as she was implying that parents are responsible for their kids' action. And I agree with that to a certain extent. However, as a parent myself, we raise our children. We teach them what we feel is the right thing to do. But once they are out of our sight and on their own, we are not there, and we cannot.
I'm sorry, ma'am. But I have to interrupt you on this point because you know what? I'm going to have to disagree with you, because you know what? As a parent myself, my kids were taken away from me, but that doesn't mean that I was not still able to parent them to some point. And I have been fascinated to learn that some of the lessons that I taught them early in life, they still remember, and they still reflect back on. So what I'm saying to you is this. As a parent, if you don't lay the foundation correctly the first time, you've lost your child the second time. So now it does fall back on the parents. You can do all that you think you can. Unfortunately, guess what? The truth and the reality of it is, in my opinion, is that some of us just simply don't know how to damn parent. We don't know how to parent. And you know what? The worst part about that is we don't know how to accept responsibility for that. Because it boils back to one thing.
Okay, then
It boils back to one thing. Our parents didn't teach us how to be parents when we don't know how to be parents. You follow where I'm going? What's your point?
So then I guess my final question to you then with that comment that you just made, then who, in your opinion, should be held responsible for the action of those twins that just murdered their mother?
Those twins. And at some point, that grandmother, because the grandmother was very insightful, and she did a lot of contrary things to the leadership of the mother. A lot of details came out of that story. Grandmother was on some level the root of the issue with those particular girls in that household. Those girls knew right from wrong. When they picked up a knife and decided that they wanted to end their mother's life, they knew right from wrong, and they knew that their mother was going to die. So they should be held accountable for that.
Right, but you just said that the kids was just responsible for their action, correct?
And they are responsible for their action.
And that was the same point that I was trying to make a few minutes ago.
But I think you mentioned that the parents had no role to play, and that's my point. Is that the kids are responsible for the physical? But see, here's the thing: they are responsible for the physical act of killing their mother. Absolutely, they took that act. They committed that act. That's theirs alone. But now you're trying to take it to a psychological point, which is mentally what led to them, what led them to commit such an act. Now, with that being said, I think that all of the adults that played a role in their life, whether it had been a correct or incorrect role in their lives, had a part to play in that. In particular, the grandmother. So it was a twofold question, and I'm giving you a twofold answer. The physical act, the girls are absolutely responsible for that because they took the knives and they stabbed the mother. But mentally, socially, and spiritually, if you want to look at it like that, guess what? Grandmama had a role to play in all of that because she nurtured and she facilitated some of the anger that went into those girls committing such an act.
Exactly. But my point was, the parents was not responsible for those kids' action. The kids were. And that was the point I was trying to make. And mm-hmm. You even just said it. You know, as a parent, we do our best to raise our children, but the kids are ultimately responsible for the actions and the decisions that they make, not the parents.
Well, you know something, it's a twofold issue, and I say that because you can raise your child to do absolutely everything perfectly. You can give your child the best benefits, the best opportunities, send them to the best schools. Hell, they can be at the top of the dean's list every year. But guess what? If they physically decide to go out and commit an act, then it happens. Guess what? You know what? They're physically responsible for that because they committed that act. They're going to go to jail. They're going to lose their life. Hello? Yeah, they're going to be – hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I dropped my mic. They're going to be locked up for what they've done. But here's where I'm going is that if you look at it from – and for those of you who don't know, I am a social worker, or I was the one here in the Atlanta area, So, you know, coming from a counseling social worker standpoint, I'm looking at it from the point of a child is born not knowing bad or good. Genetically speaking, most of us are predisposed to commit certain things. That's just a fact. It's a proven fact. But the children, people are born not knowing evil, not knowing right from wrong, or not necessarily knowing bad versus good. Some of these behaviors are learned behaviors that we observe, that we are taught from bullies in school. We watch our parents go through issues. You follow where I'm going? And as a parent, it is our job to nurture, guide, and to deal with, on some social level, that learning process that happens with our children. That's where I'm going with that. So the parents do have a role to play in what happens to their children. We have another call on the line. Let me get this call on the line. She may want to address your comments.
Okay, thank 770. You. Also, those
Miss ATL,
they were very intelligent as well.
Well, Ms. ATL, before you go, because I sound like you're getting ready to leave us, but before you go, we have another call on the line, 770-315. You're on the air, Don Adams, Junior Talk Show. Go ahead with your comments.
Mr. Adams, good evening.
Hey, what's going on? This is Mr. Hagan. How are you feeling, brother?
I'm great. How about you, sir?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. I appreciate you calling, as always. Are you listening to the show? Did you catch the topic?
I actually just dialed in, and
okay.
I didn't hear the topic. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's fine. We were talking about, you know, convicted felons not being able to get the opportunity to go to school when we have illegals here in the country that are going to school at the expense of the taxpayers. And one of the, we have a caller on the line. She identified herself as Mrs. ATL. You know, I made a point earlier in the show to say that, you know what, physically speaking, when someone commits an act such as murder, and I'm talking about the twins down in Atlanta that killed their mother, physically, that's theirs to own. But mentally, once you know the details of the story, I feel that, you know what, the grandmother had a role to play. And I also feel that parents have a unique role to play in how we turn out as individuals, you know, because socially, And most important, economically speaking, that's where we get our learning from. That's where we got our learning from. And I guess Ms. ATL is not completely 100% agreeing with that.
That's an interesting topic. That's an interesting topic. If mm-hmm. I had to make a comment just coming in on the tail end of that, based on what you shared with me, I would definitely say there's a trinity involved in terms of the influences on a child and how that child grows and lives their life. And the trinity is definitely the parental effect, the societal effect, and then the actual responsibility and ownership that individual takes, because whether they were taught or whether they weren't taught or whether they learned or didn't learn or witnessed, etc., at every point there's an individual choice. So,
and I totally agree. You stated it perfectly.
Do I swing this baseball bat and crush somebody's skull, or do I just tell them I don't appreciate the way you handled it, blah, 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 but we're not going to get physical and leave it alone?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about choices.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and I absolutely agree with you. And before you go any further, Mark, let me say this. Let me put this out there. Family, for those of you who listen to my shows on Fridays are my call-in and shout-your-business-out day. For those of you who have a business out there, you want to shout your business out, this is the day to do it. 718-664-6543. Give us a call and you can shout your business out. With that being said, Mark, Give us an idea of what you're into and what you do for a living.
Well, I appreciate that, Don. Believe it or not, I enjoy your show so much now since we met and I became exposed to it that I don't call in especially to shout out my business, but being in business, I have to shout it out. So I will just share this with the listeners. Number one, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, stimulating and provoking thought every Tuesday and Friday. And if your callers are interested in life-changing income, not necessarily overnight, but definitely a reality, there's a quick two-minute video on YouTube for them to take a look at. It's youtube.com/thepowergroup. And what they can do is call after they watch that video and we can talk further, 770-315-3405. Or if they would rather email, it's mark, M-A-R-K, dot Hagins, H-A-G-I-N-S, at yahoo.com. But bottom line is we're not into lotions, potions, girls, and juices. We're actually in the utility business, and it's passive residual income where people are going to receive commission checks weekly and monthly based on people paying their utility bills.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good, Mark. Sounds good.
I appreciate the opportunity to shout out and forward to doing business with people nationwide and even worldwide. So that young lady from New Zealand, I hadn't heard from her yet.
Well, yeah, she actually is. She emailed me or spoken to us earlier. Spoke to us earlier and said that she was not going to be on with us tonight, but she'll be back on Tuesday. And she is absolutely interested in what you were talking about as well. And she's not, and like I said before, she's not the only caller that's out there in the New Zealand area that we have.
Right.
But yeah, she did mention that, and she definitely wanted to chime in with some of what you're talking about, Mark.
It's a nationwide and a worldwide opportunity, so we'll look for the phone calls and the emails. Thank you, Don.
Yeah, Mark, as always, I appreciate you calling in and sharing your comments with us too. Mark, are you going to be around for a little while, or?
I will. And
okay.
Although, like I said, I appreciate the opportunity to shout out. Just check back with me once or twice. You know, I'm really more here for the conversation.
Okay, excellent. I tell you what I will do is this. If you want to stay on the line, which I definitely appreciate, we're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to really tackle this topic, and we're going to move on as well to the Jesse Jackson issue, something I think you'll enjoy as well. So stick with us, family. We're going to pay some bills. And we'll be right back, the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Right now we're talking about convicted felons. And why the hell can't we allow those people to go to school and get their lives together? What do you think about that, family? Be right back.
I'm the singer, spoken word artist, Epiphany. You can find my work at www.myspace.com/Epiphany's House. As a Poetry Over Music Senate member, I'm proud to be a part of Poetry Over Music campaign to grow poetry and spoken word. So, from now and until the end of the year, Poetry Over Music is going to be giving away thousands of dollars in gift cards. The way to win this month is to go out and spread the word about EOTM. Tell your friends, co-worker, pastors, strangers, etc., etc., etc. And the person that EOTM says refers the most listeners or poets will win a Poetry Over Music gift card. It's just that easy. If you have not done so, please go to www.poetryovermusic.com, join the page, and check out the new Poetry Over Music magazine featuring me.
Someone I can depend on every town, no matter what. Let me know what you're waiting for.
It'll be fly. If you are my CDY, don't be shy.
No,
give it a try.
Yeah,
could be
you can be my girl. I can't
lie. Yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
Hey, no. can't get careless. You say, what is this?
Man.
My beloved, let's get down to business. Mental self-defense or fitness. So rest the show.
You got yourself a question, no.
To make everybody see. In order to fight the power that be. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power.
Okay, talk to me about the future of Public Enemy.
Future of Public Enemy got a...
It's time for the Don Adams Sweet Tea, the talk show.
On EOTM Radio. Let's talk about
it. Hey, family. Hey, family. Welcome back to the Don Adams Junior Talk Show. Top of the hour, family. We opened it up with why are some of our convicted felons not being allowed to go to school after they served their time, done their bid, made paid their debt to society, and we've had some interesting callers come in on the line and also in the chat room as well. We've got some folks that believe that they should not be given a second chance. We've got some folks that believe that they should be given a second chance. But regardless of what side of the fence you're on, I respect all of your opinions. That's what this show is all about. Currently on the line, we have Mr. Hagen, Mark Hagen, who's in the Atlanta area. And as you all know, before I turn it over to Mr. Hagen, on Fridays are the days that you can call into my show and you can shout out your business. The number to call in is 718-664-6543. I'm going to say it one more time for you true entrepreneurs who know how to take advantage of opportunities when they are provided. 718-664-6543. With that being said, I'm going to give Mr. Hagen a shout-out one more time and give us his pitch on his business, and then I'm going to ask him to comment on the topic. Go ahead, Mr. Hagen.
Thanks a lot, Don. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. We got you. Go right ahead.
Okay, I appreciate that. The business is actually called The Power Group, Bringing the Power to the People, and what we do is provide an opportunity for individuals and families to create passive residual income, which I call mailbox money. You do a little something, create a momentum, and the checks show up in your mailbox weekly and monthly, even if you quit the business. It continues to grow, but I don't recommend that because exponential growth is one of the best things to take advantage of. So the business's utilities, which
Mark, are you saying that you don't recommend that they do what now?
I don't recommend someone join a business, do enough to get it started, and then quit.
Okay. I'm sorry, man.
It will continue to grow, but you rather move it along at a faster clip for the benefit of yourself and your family and faster and greater growth. So the business's utilities, we're in electricity and the natural gas business, and people are allowed to receive commission checks weekly and monthly based on hundreds and even thousands of people paying their utility bills, which is pretty much a guarantee. People will pay their bills, those utility bills. So the brief intro video on YouTube is youtube.com/thepowergroup. Our phone number in Atlanta is 770-315-3405, and the email is mark.hagins@yahoo.com. Be happy to answer anyone's questions nationwide, even worldwide, and bring you into the fold and get your mailbox stuffed with checks.
There you go, family. Little sound bite at the end of that for Mark.
I appreciate that. That was money popping into the mailbox.
Yeah, there you go. Well, now, Mark, this topic about these convicted felons, man, and not giving these people an opportunity to go to school, man, what's up with that? We had Officer A called in a little while earlier, and, you know, he mentioned a very interesting phenomenon. And, you know, as most of you know that listen to my shows, I am a former law enforcement officer myself, worked as a police officer and worked as a probation officer. And Officer A was absolutely correct. When you take someone that's exiting the penal system, and you cut off all avenues of income, basically what you're doing is funneling them back into what's known as a bottleneck effect. He used a police officer's term, so to speak, but a bottleneck effect, meaning you're just basically shoving them down the same direction or shoving them back into the same lifestyle that they tried to get away from by not allowing them to go to school. What the hell is that all about? That, to me, is a crock of shit, because I'm going to tell you up front, when we allow people to come into this country who are here illegally, who don't pay taxes, who we have absolutely no course of recourse, no course or no action possible of recovering any of the monies that they have signed for, saying that they will pay back, I have a problem with that. I have a major problem with that. And I think rightfully so. Because here's the thing, Mark, and here's the thing to all the family out there, is I'm not going to allow the felons to go back to school and to better themselves, then I don't think they should have to pay taxes. I don't think they should have to pay taxes. What do you think, Mark?
Well, you said a mouthful, Don, and I was actually, if you had not prefaced the question to me with that bit of background, especially from Officer A speaking about the bottleneck, my comment was going to be and is, the system was, and I'm speaking specifically regarding African Americans at this point.
Absolutely.
Now, bear in mind, there's shouting out my business, and then there's how I feel and what I think. They're mutually exclusive. So if what I say steps on some toes, that doesn't mean we still can't make some money together.
Hey, Mark, hold up, time out. Let me say this to you and to the family that's listening on this show. Number one, here are the rules to participating on this show. Number one, keep it real. Number two, keep it real. And number three, keep it real. Your opinion is your own, and on this show, we all respect that. This man has an opinion just like we all do, and I'm sure there are people out there who do not agree with my opinion. And I know he doesn't want his profession or his business to suffer, but guess what, family? You know what? The true measure of a person is when you can accept someone's opinion, whether you agree or disagree with it, and move past that point. It doesn't mean that you have to hate him. It doesn't mean you have to hate me. It just means that we disagree. So with that being said, Mark, speak your mind, brother.
I appreciate that. What I was going to say was the system was designed in the first place to to make that person a convict, and they did with choice have a hand in becoming a convict. So to serve their time, whether it was warranted or not in the first place, and to get out and then look to the system and beg the system to give them aid and give them assistance and allow them to get themselves back on track when it's not up to the system, nor does the system really want that in the first place, is recidivism. And they're trying to push the people back into the penitentiary because that's big money.
Mm-hmm.
That's big money, and that's why they're building bigger prisons than they are schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that person that comes out, if they have a true interest in turning their life around and doing the right thing and rising higher than they have, they don't necessarily need that school system. I'm a
mm-hmm.
firm believer in higher education and post-secondary education. However, the opportunities are still out there for an individual, because if they go
to be an entrepreneur, is that what you're going, Mark?
Definitely, definitely.
Okay.
We don't do background checks in my business, and a person
mm-hmm.
can end up making over time $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 a month in residual
mm-hmm.
passive income. So I say come one, come all is based on merit and effort. You know, your character is something that you have to deal with.
Well, you know what, Mark? I'm gonna take what you just said to a whole nother level. And before I do that, I wanna give you a round of applause, because that was very well said, but I'm going to take it to another level. Family, what he's saying is this. When they slap you with that label of felon, this is what they want you to do, especially being a black male in this society. They want you to give up. They want you to go sit in a shoebox. They want you to eat crumbs and get on welfare and say, you know what, I can't do nothing for myself. That's bull. That's a bunch of shit. At the end of the day, family, here's the deal. Entrepreneurship, this is what we're talking about. I did a show not less than 2 weeks ago about the talented 10th in our community, entrepreneurs. How many of you know and understand how many inventions were actually created by black people? How many? How many people? Would you be surprised to know that the traffic light is one of them? Would you be surprised to know that air conditioning and refrigeration is another one? That's right. The air conditioning, this is what I'm trying to say. More black men in this country than any other species, that means black women, that means white men, that means anybody else out there, in most instances, when black men move on and obtain a master's degree or better in education, we're more highly apt to start our own businesses. Whether it be what Mark is talking about or whether it be something else that you have a passion for, we are more driven to start our own businesses. This is what I'm saying. They can felonize you all they want to, but they can't take away your mind, and they can't take away what you believe in, and they most importantly can't take away what's in your heart. If you are a true entrepreneur, you will find a way, period. And that's where I'm going with that. Mark, I had to take that to another level.
I appreciate that. And just to dovetail on what you just said, find another way and keep it legal.
Yeah, pretty much.
Stay out
pretty
of the
much.
System. But you don't
mm-hmm.
need the system. You don't need the system to coddle you.
Mm-hmm.
Do your thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. You know, and that takes me back to this. For you guys out there who are convicted felons, do you know that some states allow you to have your rights back once you have completed your sentence, whether that's on probation or whether that's on parole? Let me give you some of the states that do that. Because if you live in these prospective states, what has to happen is this. You have to go and apply for your rights. Oh, I'm sorry, you didn't know you had to apply for your rights? Yes, you do. You have to go and fill out the forms. Talk to your probation officer or your parole officer, or better yet, go down to the Department of Human Resources. Let them know that you are an ex-convicted felon, or you are a convicted felon, and that you're there to apply or reapply for your rights to be restored. This means that you will have the right to vote, and in some states, the right to bear arms, depending on what type of crime you have committed that made you a felon, if it's a nonviolent crime. Virtually, you'll be able to move forward and reestablish your rights in that particular state. Now, here's the thing, family. There's a thing out there that's called the Interstate Compact. If you live in Georgia and you get your rights restored, guess what? Every other state has to recognize that due to the Interstate Compact. You follow what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter where you live. If you live in a state that does not restore your rights, guess what? It's just a simple matter of moving to another state. Well, you can't move. Well, you know what? Here's how the state looks at it. If you have an address that shows that you live in that state, then you can apply for your rights back after a certain amount of time. So y'all can work with that information. I just gave you a hell of a lot. Let me tell you what states will offer you your rights back. Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, Montana, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Ohio, Oregon, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, and Utah. In some states like Illinois, Michigan, and Montana, the felon's voting privileges are automatically restored upon completion of his or her period of incarceration. In states that do not allow for automatic restoration, felons must comply with the state's restoration procedures before their voting privileges are restored. That sounds major, but what it means, family, is this. There's a policy in place. You have to prove that you're a citizen of that state. You have to prove that you live in that state of residence. That's why you need that address. Doesn't matter if it's your mama, grandmama, whoever. I'm just going to put it out there. If you can get an address in a state that's giving back your rights and you know somebody that lives there, go get a driver's license at that address. And you know what, family, 9 out of 10 times, they're going to have you wait a year, maybe 6 months, with that address on record and then give you back your rights. But you know what? It's worth it for the rest of your life. I'm just going to put it out there. Play the game the way the game needs to be played. You don't have to live there physically. Hell, I live in Georgia. If I know Alabama is a state that's going to restore my rights and I got a cousin, Bubba Gump, that lives in Alabama and he's always out on a shrimp boat somewhere, guess what? I'm going to call my cousin and I'm going to say, hey, Bubba, can I come down there and use your address to get a driver's license so that I can go ahead and apply for my rights back in 6 months? Guess what? Bubba says yes. I go down there and get me a driver's license, but I continue to live in Georgia. Bottom line, family, you got to do what you got to do. That's where I'm going with this. You got to do what you got to do. Of the remaining 36 states, 34, including Cincinnati, prohibit convicted felons from voting while they are on parole or probation. In 13 of these states, including Alabama, Florida, Iowa, and Wyoming, felons who have completed their sentences can be disenfranchised for life. You need to know that. You need to know who can take your rights away for the rest of your life. Did some of you know that in the state of Georgia, they have what's called banishment? They banish your ass from a county. If the judge feels like he doesn't want you there or for whatever reason your crime was so heinous, did you know that the judge can banish you from the county? That means that if you ever return to my county and you are found in my county, that they will lock you up forever. Most people don't know that. Period. Mark, what do you think about that?
The banishment is crazy.
Yes, sir, it is. Yes, absolutely is. And with that being said, too, family, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say that's some excellent information and definitely a tool to be utilized that you're speaking of regarding applying for the rights. I had never heard of that myself. And hopefully everybody that's listening will pass that on and go help somebody because you actually will be blessed because of helping somebody.
Absolutely. You know something, Mark, I appreciate those comments, brother, as always. But, you know, I want to say this to you, family, that are listening to the sound of my voice. Take it seriously. You know what? We live in an age of information technology. You know, the caller that called in earlier made a very interesting point, and I say this every opportunity that I get. If you don't like the way these laws are written and the way these people that are making these laws are thinking, you vote their asses out. That's why we're sending messages to Congress, and I'm going to say it again, register to vote, register to vote, register to vote. Vote their asses out. Because you know what? The problem with us all too often is that we sit on our asses and we like to wait until it affects us directly. I'm not going to wait for a pile of crap to come to my door when I can go outside the street and start shoveling with everybody else to keep it from getting in my yard. That's what it sounds like, family. We need to step up and be proactive. We need to step up and be proactive even with child support. Guess what? If it doesn't affect you directly, it affects someone that you know. These are things that, hey, you know what? Once they're out of control, they're out of control. And there's nothing we can do about it once we let it get out of control. But we can always stop that fire before it gets too big. You follow what I'm saying, family? Serious stuff. You know something? The last part of the show, I want to talk about Jesse the Clown Jackson. That's right. I said it correctly. Jesse the Clown Jackson. Mark, I know this might be a sensitive subject to you. And maybe I'm jumping the gun. But I'm going to say it like this. You know, we put out some things about Jesse Jackson last week, up to and including the fact that he, you know, assumed a role of leadership with the SCLC and placed himself in a position of religious leadership and, you know, some kind of way later on in life acquired some of the titles that he now boldly professes to have. So with that being said, I want to do two things right now, family. Number one, I want to allow the good brother Mark Hagen to go ahead and put his topics out again, put his business out there again, and then I want to see if he wants to comment on where we are now with this Jesse Jackson thing. Go ahead, Mark.
I appreciate that. I'll just ask every listener to take 2 minutes and 21 seconds to look at a YouTube video. The address is youtube.com/thepowergroup. And then, if that stimulates your interest and you want more information, give us a call at 770-315-3405 or email Mark, M-A-R-K, dot Higgins, H-A-G-I-N-S, at yahoo.com. It's a serious business. It's real, and the money's real. Everybody's not all about the money, but everyone has something that they can do with money. If it's tithing more or blessing somebody on the street or helping a family member or traveling the world. You know, it's not all about the money, but money definitely is a means to the real end, which ultimately is health and happiness. Are you there, Don?
Can you hear me, Mark?
I can now, yes.
Okay, I apologize, family. I muted myself out. Yeah, you know what, Mark, I was saying, too, that it is absolutely about the money. Let's keep it real, family. How many people enjoy eating out of a soup can? How many people enjoy waking up in the mornings and saying, you know what, I don't know if I have enough money to pay my rent, my phone bill, my cell phone bill, my car note, my insurance. How many people enjoy looking up in the morning when the kids say, hey, mommy, daddy, I want to go to band practice, but I can't afford an instrument. Can I get $20 or can I get some lunch money? You know what? It is about money at the end of the day. But if you want to change your circumstances, your situation, if you want to work on and move forward to some to brighter days financially, if I can put it lightly, let me just tell you something, family. We are true entrepreneurs. This is one of the reasons why on Fridays, the number is 718-664-6543. I want you to call in, entrepreneurs like this gentleman, Mark Hagen, in the Atlanta area, and promote your businesses because it is about money. It's about empowerment. He's a brother. Guess what? He's trying to share the wealth. And I encourage you to listen to the message because you know what? I certainly have. I'll leave it at that. But, you know, family, it's serious business. Serious, serious business. And, Mark, we appreciate you putting it out there. Mark, what do you think about this Jesse Jackson thing?
Well, I have to confess, Don, whatever the latest issue or scandal, I'm assuming is something in those areas, I'm not really familiar with the most current events involving Jesse. So if you want to bring me up to speed, I can pontificate or...
Okay.
You know, if you got some that are already tapped into it, go right ahead.
Well, okay. Let's recap. Let's just go with it. You know, last week I started talking about some of the Jesse Jackson exploits out there. I wasn't quite able to get to the point of, you know, get to all of it. But I'm going to try to cover some of that. Family, even in the rest of the family, I can line up 9 shows, 3 hours apiece, and I still would never be able to accomplish getting over all of what Jesse Jackson's little trifling ass has done. So, family, I'm just going to put it out there like that. So I'm going to make a good attempt at it. With that being said, you know, I started out saying that when after King's murder at the SCLC chose Dr. Ralph Abernathy as King's successor in 1971, Jackson broke away from the SCLC because he was pissed off about not being selected as the leader. But what people don't realize is that when MLK was shot, Jesse Jackson was down at the pool giving an interview to some reporters. This is documented, family. He hid behind some dumpsters. Came up later and said, hey, I was next to the man when he was shot. A few days later, he shows up on a television show program with a bloodstained, or what looked like a bloodstained T-shirt, saying he was wearing his shirt when MLK was shot, and that he held him in his arms when he died. But what a lot of people don't realize is that previously, he had already given an order to the folks that were around Martin Luther King when he was shot and ordered them to be quiet and not give any statements to the press. This was done in an attempt for him to facilitate, orchestrate, or come up with a story such as the one that he has now come up with, saying that he was near MLK when he was shot. Now, with that being said, let's talk about why he was pushed out of the first organization that he was with. Speaking of PUSH, the name of that organization was called PUSH. Mr. Jackson has been accused of, and in, I think also it was proven at some point, that he embezzled money from this nonprofit organization. He was suspended by Ralph Abernathy at some point. And as a result of being suspended, Jackson, with his ill-gotten temper, broke away from this establishment and started his own organization called Operation PUSH. Now, family, what a lot of you don't realize is that, you know what, in order for him to do that, he put on his knee pads, he went to the White House, and he got up underneath the desk at the Oval Office, and he solicited some favors from those folks that are in office. Can I say that again? Now, with that being said, we have many, 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 many exploits that Mr. Jackson has participated in. Numerous accusations of extortion and corruption have been placed on his table following that. To cite some specifics, Coca-Cola induced to award a lucrative distributorship to Jackson's half-brother, Noah, in order to protect itself from racially biased attacks by Jackson, who, as a member of the PUSH Coalition, was also noted by agencies as going after them and sort of like a strong-arm, racketeering, blackmail fashion, and saying to him, if you don't support our organization, we're going to call you a racist. If you don't do this, we're going to call you a racist. Now, folks, family, in my opinion, that is playing the race card at the highest and most ignorant level by saying, you know what, if you don't support my activities or black people, X, Y, and Z, we're going to do this to you. We're going to boycott you. We're going to do this to you. He has been accused of that. You understand? Basically abusing the word boycott. Some of you all can relate to that. It's almost like a big girl calling herself thick. That's an abused term. I know y'all laugh and say, why is he saying that? But in my opinion, guess what? Words are very powerful, regardless of how you want to receive them. Now, back to the topic. Coca-Cola has induced, his brother, half-brother Noah, received a large amount of cash from Coca-Cola. Well, Noah is currently serving a life sentence in prison for arranging the contract murder of three business associates. Here's another one, family. Anheuser-Busch awarded a beer distribution contract to Jackson's sons, Youssef and Jonathan, for the same reason, to keep Jackson from going after them and saying that they were racist. Okay? President Jimmy Carter directed $7 million in government funds to the PUSH Coalition. President Bill Clinton sent Jackson on a junket to Africa that cost American taxpayers $42 million. Jackson opposed the merger of Viacom and CBS and attempted to force Viacom to sell to UPN to the UPN network. Okay? Family, this is what the man has been doing. He has been taking the plight of black people and using it for his own personal benefit, i.e., I'm Jesse Jackson. I am the spokesperson for civil rights. If you don't acknowledge this and give this, guess what? This is what I'm going to publicly say, and my people are going to follow me. These companies, out of fear, have gone along with this man and paid him large, large amounts of money. Most of this can be traced because you know what? As a so-called, quote-unquote, public official, his financial records are public knowledge. Look it up, because I'm not making it up. What do you think, Mark?
Well, Don, a lot of those things, this is my first time hearing them, so I really don't have a total handle on, you know, the validity. So I can't.
Spoken like
I
a true politician.
I'm just saying. At this point, I'm ignorant. So I'm hearing what you're saying, and
uh-huh.
and all I would be able to say to that is, I would be shocked that he was allowed to operate on that level
mm-hmm.
versus becoming a target himself.
Well, you know something? Let me tell you what it is, Mark.
It'd be easier to eliminate roaches, per se, than it would to keep them fed.
Yeah, you're right. He is a roach. You know something? I'm going to tell you something, Mark. Here's the thing. He is a cockroach. You know what? Let me tell you something. Because of the fact that his so-called status in the black community is so-called what it is, and he has placed himself verbally in a position of so-called leadership in the black community, companies and agencies fear that reputation. Now, here's where it comes into play. This society has evolved, hopefully, from the assassination plots and so forth and so on, to a point where we now have learned how to deal with our issues on another level. With that being said, Mr. Jackson, being the extortionist that his ass is, has taken that to that level, knowing and realizing that, you know what, society's not going to want to see me assassinated. I mean, at the end of the day, he may be a pain in the ass to some of these executives, but guess what? He's not that big of a pain in the ass to where somebody wants to initiate another conspiracy just to get him out of there. You follow where I'm going? So at the end of the day, guess what? What's the easiest solution? It's almost like if I file a lawsuit against Toshiba because my fingers got tired of typing. Now, that's ludicrous. But guess what? At the end of the day, if I file a legitimate lawsuit and somebody in the news media comes in and covers it and says, you know what, Ms. Adams, do you have carpal tunnel because of that? Yes, I do. Do you have nightmares about typing keys? Yes, I do. I see keys all night because of Toshiba. You know what Toshiba's going to do? They're going to cut me a small check and say, look, man. They're going to say, cut me a small check, and they're going to say, look, man, let's call this thing over with. Here's about, you know, $6,000, $7,000, and you shut your mouth and go on about your business. And guess what? I'm going to take the money and run. That's how a lot of lawsuits are settled. You follow where I'm going?
So what you're saying is it's cheaper to keep them.
Yes, sir. It's much cheaper to keep them. It's cheaper to pay them and shut them up and shut them down and get them out of there. Look at the Atlanta Housing Authority, and I'm going to put it on blast. I was a counselor with the Atlanta Housing Authority for years. You know, somebody got on TV the other day and said, you know what, they're trying to make me put my son out. You know something? They were absolutely correct. The Catalyst program at the Atlanta Housing Authority is full of shit. You know something? Barney Sims, who is the senior vice president at the Atlanta Housing Authority, knows that. He sent us out to the community to counsel with people, to find out why they're not working, and find out ways we can help them get a job. But just here's the trick. The Housing Authority took government funds, government money, paid us to go out there, and guess what? When we came back with the answers to the questions that they asked, you know what they said? That's a good job, well done. We're not doing it. We're not giving them the social support that they need. And some of these families have been evicted. They've been put on the streets because the Atlanta Housing Authority realized that, guess what, they tried to undertake a task that they were not prepared to take. It was cheaper to do what? Keep her. So what they did was kept us employed long enough to get these families out of there. Once those families are gone, there's no threat of reprisal, so now they kick us out too. You follow where I'm going? Sometimes that's the way that it goes, the nature of the beast. Cheaper to keep them and pay them. Period. Hello?
I'm here.
Mark, what are you saying? Mark?
I'm here. I'm shaking my head. yeah, Don, unfortunately, it's like people don't make the world go around. Money seems to.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I'm not just promoting my business. I'm asking people to free themselves. Free themselves from the politics, you know, there's so much gloom and doom in the news regarding the economy right now. Create your own economy. And if enough people create their own economy, then the view of the world economy will have to change.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? If I'm living large, but unemployment is at 10% plus, then it behooves me as a business person to help some people because it helps them and it helps me. And it's, we're all really in it together, whether we want to realize it or not. So Crafts and Apparel, there's another interesting video called Five Monkeys. Five Monkeys is on YouTube also. It says that when five monkeys are placed in a cage with a set of stairs in the middle of the cage and a bushel of bananas hanging at the top of the stairs, at least one monkey is naturally going to try to climb the stairs to get to the bananas. When the other four monkeys are squirted with cold water, they eventually will beat that one monkey down who's striving to get the bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you switch one monkey out, put a brand new one in there who has not been squirted with the water, but he'll learn the behavior from the other three.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll eventually beat that one down that tries to better himself. But little do they know, if the one was allowed to get the bananas, they could all eat.
Mm-hmm.
But they're allowing that introduction of cold water to freeze their mind, in essence. So people don't dream, people don't try, people end up backbiting, stabbing, backstabbing, and doing dirt, which keeps everybody from getting the prize.
So, Mark, let me ask you this, Mark. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So mine is not just a business, Don. It's almost a ministry. Because for someone to, as we say, get on the other side of money, you know, then you're going into Maslow's hierarchy of needs and going above the basics and getting into self-actualization, which really makes a world a better place. It sounds fluffy, but if the ex-convict or if Jesse Jackson or if whoever was really in a comfortable place without the evil influence, they wouldn't have to resort to the dirt, the crime, etc. And I think the term is nirvana, or heaven on earth. We'd be a lot closer to that. So I'm saying take money out of the equation by making sure you have enough with a business such as mine, or start your own thing. I mean, let me throw this out real quick, Don. A person's unemployed, and their unemployment, if they had it from a previous job, runs out. Now they're standing there looking at, what can I do? I see people on the side of the road at the top of the ramp when I get off the highway, you know, homeless, hungry, would work for food, et cetera. I've always said, you can borrow a pair of scissors, go door to door in a neighborhood and ask people if you can cut their grass on your hands and knees with a pair of scissors, if it takes that. Take that money from a couple of houses and get a used lawnmower from a pawn shop. Then you go to some more houses with your new lawnmower. And eventually you can be rolling with a fleet of lawn care. And employees. So creativity, necessity is the mother of invention. but you don't always have to reinvent the wheel. There's things available already. I say when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you'll do in order to come up.
Man, you know what, Mark? That was a key phrase. When you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Family, listen to that one. When you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Man, that was powerful, Mark. Hold on a second, Mark. We'll be right back, and I'm going to let you get some final comments in, man, and shout your business out one more time. We got 9 minutes left in the show. But we got to pay some bills. We got to show some commercials, show some love to our sponsors, and so forth and so on. So hold on 1 second, Mark, and the rest of the family that's tuned in to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. We'll be right back.
It's time for the Don Adams Sweet Tea, the talk show.
On EOTM Radio. Let's talk about it.
That was the rooster crowing. We have 7 minutes left in the show, and I hated to cut that tune short, but I definitely want to give my guests some last comments to leave with family, and we're going to put that tune back on for you, those that have tuned in. Go ahead, Mark. Give us some final comments on what we talked about, bro.
Well, Don, I'm going to refer to a book, and it's actually written by Jesse Jackson.
No, you didn't.
It's actually written by Jesse Jackson and his son.
Oh my God.
Let me look at the copyright date real quick, because I just happened to own a copy. 1994.
Oh.
Do I know what the title is?
Yeah, go with it, man. What is it?
It's All About the Money! Exclamation point.
Wow, man. Wow. You hit the nail right on the damn head.
He was confessing early. Now, there's goods and bads to the title and the book, but the subtitle says, The Fourth Movement of the Freedom Symphony, How to Build Wealth, Get Access to Capital, and Achieve Your Financial Dreams. Now,
wow.
based on your topic and your coverage of it, he went about it a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But How to Build Wealth, Get Access to Capital, and Achieve Your Financial Dreams, there's nothing wrong with those concepts. Now,
mm-hmm.
the, met- the method. That's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
So It's All About the Money by Reverend Jesse L. Jackson Sr. and Jesse L. Jackson Jr.
Wow.
It's All About
man.
The Money.
Wow. Wow.
That
wow.
should be some interesting reading for you and your listeners.
Wow. Wow, man. That's awful, bro. You know what? I'm going to say this to you, family. We got 4 minutes left in the show. You know something? I'm going to say this to you. Someone asked me a question, and they asked me, why would I even present the information that I presented about Martin Luther King and about Jesse Jackson? You know what I said to them? Because I think that everyone has a right to know both sides of the fence. You have a right to know what these people want you to believe, and you also have a right to know what they don't want you to believe, what they don't want you to know. With that being said, everyone has a right to make an informed decision. As far as I'm concerned, and again, my thoughts and opinions are my own and not necessarily reflective of all those attached to EOTM. Jesse Jackson is a clown. He's always been a clown, even before I discovered some of the information that I haven't even put out here for you to know. He's always been a clown, in my opinion. He's a clown dressed in a suit, and there's nothing else I can say about this guy. But now this Martin Luther King issue, let me just say this to you, family. I don't want to take away from what some people perceive as his legacy, but I do want to say this to you. When you establish your belief in a hero, someone that you think has done the right thing, somebody that you think is doing the right thing, somebody that you think is going to do the right thing. Let me tell you something, folks. It's best, and I'll say it's who of you, to be as informed as you can. That is why I say this. This information is certainly mind-boggling. It is certainly disturbing. It disturbed me when I read it. But you know what, family? If it is the truth, and I said if it is the truth, because I didn't write the book. Martin Luther King Jr.'s friend wrote the book, and he put the information out there. Michael Dyson wrote these books, and they put the information out there about Martin Luther King's name. I follow up on some of the information, and guess what? Some of it has proven to be true. His name was not legally Martin Luther King Jr. So that tells me that when you find some unturned stones, you need to follow up on the rest of it. Family, check it out. Just research it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Don't take my caller's word for it. Research it. Just look it up. With that being said, family, next Tuesday, here's a topic for you. Booty calls. What's a booty call all about? I want to talk about booty calls next week. That's right, booty calls. Not only that, but I want to talk about economics. You know why, family? Because I believe economics and booty calls are tied into one. And I'll make the connection for you next Tuesday. With that being said, family, hang in there, and we'll talk about it next Tuesday. Stone Adams Jr., love you. Peace out. And remember this, EOTM is for empowerment, enlightenment. Holler at your family. See you next Tuesday.
Take care.
I'm